This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning, I'm Ken Vincent. A study conducted by researchers at the University of California, Riverside, finds that the Occupy movement that began in New York City's Wall Street District this past fall is now pervasive throughout the state of California. The UCR study surveyed Facebook pages in California that were set up to try to organize local Occupy groups. The study found upstart Occupy organizations in more than 140 cities in all areas of California, even in medium and small cities, including in places typically identified with conservative politics. The study was led by sociology professor Christopher Chase Dunn, director of the UCR Institute for Research on World Systems. Professor Dunn says that not everybody who tried to start an Occupy group in California succeeded.
We study places where it was one person. Okay, one guy got evicted from his house in Wairika. He was very unhappy. He's the one who realized something was going on and tried to start an Occupy movement in Wairika. Okay, he didn't succeed. I mean, it was just him. But, you know, that if you multiply that, that's what you get. Basically, it's a reaction of people to what's happened in the economy recently and the feelings of injustice and all that and huge inequalities and the idea that something's wrong and needs to be fixed. And a lot of people are angry about their own situation and about the general situation. And that's basically what fueled this movement.
Now, you said even though, say, the guy in Wairika didn't succeed in forming an Occupy Wairika, still, your study shows that this is not just an urban or Northern California or coastal phenomenon, that these Facebook pages are showing up from all parts of the state.
Yeah. Well, what happened was the big cities did it first, and then it diffused to rural areas, smaller towns and cities. We've already got some interesting findings, like there is no northern-southern difference. Okay, everybody thinks the Northern California, especially the Bay Area, is left-wing and compared to Southern California, but we find as many Occupy sites in Southern California, south of Bakersfield, as we find in Northern California, north of Bakersfield. Being a sociologist who studies California, what I think is Southern California is changing. It's not the same Southern California as it used to be. It's becoming, in some ways, politically more like Northern California. Now, we're going to do some finer studies of this. We can get data on voting patterns. And there are big rural urban differences in California in terms of whether people vote for Republicans and Democrats. So we're going to see how that correlates with this establishment of Facebook pages, but we haven't done that yet.
Just looking at what you've found from the Facebook pages, though, if there's an Occupy Bakersfield and an Occupy Redding, just like there's an Occupy Riverside and an Occupy LA and an Occupy San Francisco and an Occupy Cal, this is pretty diverse. Why do you think that is? I mean, politics don't cross-pollinate or haven't in this state cross-pollinated. What they vote for in San Francisco is not what they vote for in Kern County. How has this managed to cross those political boundaries?
Well, I think the issues that have been raised by this movement really are not local anywhere. People in the Central Valley have the same kinds of problems that people have elsewhere. The housing market snafu really hurt a lot of people in huge areas of California, not just in the big urban areas. So I think that it's the issues that are probably account for the diffusion of this movement so rapidly, and that people are unhappy. They sense that something's not fair. They sense that the powers that be aren't really doing anything to fix it. And, you know, the big effect of this movement so far is it's changed the political discourse, at least for a while, in the United States.
What do you think that this means for, say, the short-term future as far as next year's a big election year and then and farther down the road? So many people were predicting that this movement would peter out after a while.
I don't think this movement is going away, but I think there's two major different kinds of political forces inside the movement. There are people who are utopians, who want direct democracy, who want radical equality. They're super populists, and they're not that concerned with what happens in November. Okay, they're thinking about the long run here. They're trying to create a new kind of human community in these camps and so on, and it's based on ideas about radical egalitarianism and neo-anarchism and all these things. There's lots of different interesting intellectual currents going on. Those people are not worrying about the election in November. They have a long-term strategy. They want to change human society, and that's what they're trying to do. There's a bunch of other people I call the pragmatists. They want to change, they want to affect the election. What they want to do is get Obama reelected and then have him represent the interests of the majority of the people in the United States rather than the interests of Wall Street. And, you know, there is at least a possibility that that could happen. So I think there's going to be a split in the movement. Some of them are going to be these pragmatists are going to go off and work hard for Obama and try to get him reelected and then try to push him in the right direction in his second term. The other people don't really care all about that. They're trying to change, create community and a different kind of more egalitarian society on the ground where they are. So I predict there's going to be a split between these two camps within this movement. And then we'll see what the consequences are.
UC Riverside Professor Christopher Chase Dunn, thanks for talking so much to us.
Thanks, Ken.
Professor Chase Dunn is director of the University of California Riverside Institute for Research on World Systems. This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent.